This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Disaster Recovery Hour. I had to take off last week. Work has been was turned up. The fire was turned up. I got very busy last week, and sometimes work takes over the radio show, and I can't be here. So I was in the city. It was a large incident. I won't go into detail, but one of the things that I still do. I know it sounds like I'm this big shot on the radio, but I'm still a touchy feely, kick the tires from Show Me Missouri State kind of thing, boots on the ground, running large scale projects, small projects too, But my client requested that I be there, and I had to go, and everything went according to plan. After a while, you do what I do for a living, which is managing fires or floods or natural hazards, weather, human incidences, those types of things. I've got a few of them underneath my belt to where it's second nature, but always learning. I'm not to say that I'm not out there trying to expand my brain a little bit, wrap my head around some other things. There's sometimes what we call in our industry, is most things are most jobs, losses, if you will, are 80%. The key is to define that 20% and to navigate and what are the specialties that need to be required there. And it might be the 20% to 20% of it. I took a week and a half off of not talking, so I don't know what I'm doing right now. On the radio, that is. So 20% is could well be just the business owner themselves, the continuity of up and running their business, or a homeowner. In this case, with the large job that I had, it was a business, and multiple floors were impacted, and you had different tenants, different ideas of how things should be progressed as an emergency services. And so you have to balance out. You have one floor wants this, the other floor wants that. Everybody is in control or has anywhere from 20 to 100 employees. So they're that's weighing on their brain, and an outside agency, like myself, comes in, outside company comes in and says, listen, this is the way we're going to do it, and them being business owners, this is a challenge in our business. They're the head honcho, they're the ones with the knowledge of saying it's going to be done this way, A, B, and C, and I come in, I'm saying it's X, Y, and Z. So those are the keys things, when we talked about business continuity, and also talking about homeowners when they have their problems, when there is Irene comes to town this past late summer, and before that in the January we also had the crazy snow too, but last January and February we had some heavy snowfall, freezing weather. Homeowners really gotta, you should be calling your, these are times where you should be calling your broker or your agent saying, what am I, reviewing? Something just popped in my head, reviewing policies. When it's tax time is when probably is another, it's like, just like when, Lieutenant Steve Linder from Hackensack Fire Department tells, or Danny who from the Emerson Fire Department, or here the chief in Teaneck, it's always when the clocks are changed, check your smokes, your carbon monoxides, in apartment buildings, they're not necessarily hardwired, so the batteries are a key component to keeping you alive. We see it all the time, or hear about it all the time. The first responders see it all the time about carbon monoxide and poisoning and or smoke detectors with no batteries, just dangling from the ceiling. And that happens a lot in the multi-dwelling buildings because, again, some of the older buildings are not hardwired into the smoke detector, so they're batteries. So it's the responsibility of the tenant, if you will, the renter. Reevaluating your policy business-wise, if you're a business owner, and a homeowner, during your tax time, think about it in April. You should, I think maybe I just hit on something. Maybe I got a little something. Maybe I can tag that and it'll be mine. I can get money for it. What do you think? I'm getting a look at it from the glass. Like, yeah, you're out of your mind. But I think it's a valued point because two of the four business owners inside this building last week were not prepared. Again, I'm not I don't need to mention anybody. That's not the point. The point being is these guys are being driven by, you know, they have an employees, they have a service, they have a product they're producing, so on and so forth. And sometimes the plan, the risk manager, if they don't have a risk manager, they don't have a plan in place for what happens. What do I do with relocation? You know, documents are huge. One of them is an attorney's office, and, you know, files are very important. You know, wet filing cabinets and wet files. What are you doing with them? Is there a backup plan for that? I mean, you know, you're supposed to keep these caseloads and so on and so forth. I mean, not a lawyer, but you got to have some kind of plan if it gets wet or if it gets damaged. And most of them do, but there was this one section that they didn't. And I'm not there to slap anybody and say, you know, shame on you. It's more like, okay, it's a problem. Let's solve the problem. And we came up with a solution. And well, not a very, you know, it wasn't brain surgery. You know, it was documentation and reprocessing and things like that. There's some phone from New York City right now, but I'm not going to be able to get that one because I'm on the air. So, you know, going with this policy thing, you know, to be underinsured, I'm going to read some case scenarios that have happened about being unprepared and making quick decisions on what to do because of the vulnerability of you guys, the business owner or the homeowner, of when the fire departments or the first responders, you know, when they leave, you're pretty much left standing there, like with that look in your face, like, what now? What do I do now? And percentages have shown that the very few people know how to react to such a thing. Not to say that everybody, you know, maybe our region's different than the rest of the country. I don't know, you know, but I've seen it often enough to where, listen, I know the small fires are going to happen, the pipe burst, the car impact, the tree through the roof on the personal side. Living in the city and working in the city, you can't know what's happening upstairs in the other tenants or the other commercial spaces. Are they under construction? You know, what's happening? Could there be a flood? Could there be the alarm system gets disconnected? So many variables working in the city. They're not as magnified over here because it's less and more single family dwellings. I mean, you have Hackensack, you have Patterson, and, you know, Newark and Camden, and, you know, Camden's pretty far, but, you know, there's not as many. Let's just put it that way. So it's a different animal. But again, it comes down to the ABCs. And I know, like I said, I know there's going to be a flood. I know there's going to be a small grease fire in a kitchen. Those things, you know, they're going to happen. I'm going to show up. But there's the larger ones, and God forbid life and safety is jeopardized with that. That happens from, you know, smoke detectors or carbon monoxide. Let's, I think we're going to go to a break. I'm going to have Andy, because Andy Weitzberg from the ACP in Long Island, we have an event coming up next month, and I wanted to get you guys to listen to it. It's good intel. It's going to be up on the website. And Dave, what? Play some music here, or commercials, or whatever we do. Let's go.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday here at WVNJ 1160 AM. The Voice. I always wanted to one thing I do not do enough of, and that is talk about my social media. Andy, you on the phone?
I am, sir.
You are. Andy, you know what I always forget, and you always remind me that, is about the our call signs here at the show with the Twitter and the Facebook. So I'll mention that in a couple seconds. Andy's taking a few minutes. We were going to have two guests today, Andy being one, and also John Grimendi, who is an amateur ham radio operator, belongs to the hams. It's an association throughout the country. But he's not feeling well. He was slotted in. He's got some flu-like symptoms, which I actually just experienced for a couple of days, and now I kind of got sweated it out, so that was a good thing. Andy Weitzberg, everybody is familiar with Andy. Andy is the president of the Long Island chapter of the ACP. And he is an advisor to the program. Andy had introduced me to the ACP, which I now am a proud member of, and doing the show in Orlando with Disaster Recovery Journal and having ACP affiliates down there with Steve Elliott, who was a fantastic guest a couple of weeks ago. And by the way, Steve has some answers on the comments page, which I'm going to save to the end of the show. But let's rock and roll with Andy, because we're having our annual business preparedness meeting out on the island, and obviously everyone who listens, they're on the island also. Andy, why don't we talk about the fourth annual meeting in cooperation between the ISLIP OEM and ACP Long Island chapter. You have the Tom Croce, ISLIP supervisor. Hey, there's also me appearing, Chris Plunkett, host of Disaster. A little plug for me, right?
Absolutely, my friend.
Maybe we can go live from out there. No, it's actually, what day is it? It's the 11th. It's a Friday,
the
11th.
It's a Friday morning. It's a free event. It's open to anyone who would like to attend, whether you're in the industry, interested in a business. We'll have both vendors and speakers. Our speakers are going to be one of your former guests, Terry Winters from FEMA.
That's very cool.
Dr. Dennis Russo from Suffolk County Department of Health has got some interesting information on public-private partnerships that the Department of Health has done. Terry's going to be talking about FEMA and some of the programs that FEMA has successfully talked about in their FEMA's public-private sector integration before, during, and after a disaster.
Right.
That's what Terry's conversation is going to be about. And then we're going to have this great guest, Robert Russell, who's a principal and deputy director of SRA International. Implications of terrorism on continuity planning, what is not Mother Nature, you're worried about.
And they train for Department of Homeland Security, correct, right? They're certified trainers for that?
Originally, they built this this module for Homeland Security, and this is abridged version, the Reader's Digest version of it, but more geared towards private industry. And I heard this when we went down to an ACP meeting down in Philadelphia, and I thought it was a fantastic presentation. And I asked Rob if he would come up to New York and do it, and he was very gracious to do it. And we figured we'd introduce him to the Homeland Security Center and Beth Page, and some, and get a chance for him to meet some of the vendors that are involved in designing new projects for Homeland Security that he might not be seeing down in the Washington, D.C. area.
You know, and also, you know, being down with the Disaster Recovery Journal, the spring conference, and last year's the third annual with the business continuity with the ACP, a lot of the guys come off of the public sector. A lot of these guys were original first responders, and we're talking with Terry, and also talking with Joe from SEAS. You know, a lot of guys are first responders who saw this need to say, you know what, I'm retiring, but I know there's a gap. And there's not so many gaps as much as there are different types of gaps that need to be filled. And that's what was very cool when I was talking with Joe last year.
Right. I mean, to be honest with you, I met Terry Winters, who's now with FEMA, 10 years ago when he was with Nassau County Emergency Management. And he left there and ended up in FEMA. You know, it's very interesting. It comes across back and forth between the public and the private.
Right.
A lot of the format of business continuity comes out of originally the COOP. I can't think of the word.
Right.
Basically.
That came out of Eisenhower, actually, wouldn't he? He was the first one
to
come with that. That's in the 50s after World War II. That was a great program I watched about that. It's not to say that the government is, we might not be prepared in some areas, but there's areas that they are prepared in, without a doubt.
Yeah, the government and the military have been very good about this, and we've learned. And in the private industry, we've had to learn the lessons. And that's what ACP is about, learning it, sharing it, sharing the benefits, being prepared. In fact, it's interesting, in the last couple of months, I've been involved in doing some private bids to do work for the public side, and it's only because of my association with ACP that we've been able to put together groups of practitioners that can work for the governments and provide them with the private-public information that they're looking for. Because if they're only on the public side, they really don't quite get the private side. And the private side people need to understand the public side. So those that have gone back and forth or have transitioned from one to the other, it works very, very well to bring them in consulting when a new project comes up.
Yeah, but, you know, with our ACPs throughout the country, the political landscape when changing, when having different, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the public and the private to have this relationship. And we talked to Rick Gimbel last year, and, you know, the OEM director of the township of Islip, and some other numerous past, you know, previous first responders that are now on the consulting side. When there's a changing of the guards, there's a new philosophy. It's almost like you have to start fresh again. Our elected officials.
Sometimes, unfortunately, emergency management becomes under the guise of the appointed positions. It's not in most areas. It's not a civil service position.
Right.
That has its advantages and its disadvantages. And its disadvantages is that it is prone to politics.
Right.
And unfortunately, but for the most part, in most cases, I've seen the people that go into those areas be well qualified. They've come from the volunteer side. They've come with other experiences, or they've come from other areas. So It usually works out. Well, if the transition isn't too rough, they do work out, and everybody's got a little bit of their own style that they have to deal with.
Right, right, right. You know, it's funny, just like, it, you know, you have a day job, I have a day job. There's, we have, again, that's that 80-20 rule. Yeah, the 80% of the same service. What's the 20% that separates my company from another company, or from your company to another company? And that's what it's pretty much in a nutshell what you just said. It's, you know, everybody has just a little bit of a different take on it. And when it comes to the emergency end of it, the preparedness end of it, and then, you know, we talk about it thousands of times, with, you know, 50 times every show. But, you know, sometimes I think about, okay, how far can you kind of really colorize preparedness? But then you talk about these different chapters throughout the country and different regions and their concerns. It's like, wow, you know, I never even thought about it, you know, because we, as, you know, this region, we, as a good friend of mine at the retired state police, like, I mean, we live in one of the most dangerous parts of the world, you know, this whole New York City area, and with all the things that we have and all the people, it's like, it's amazing. But then you talk about Tornado Alley. We don't give it much thought, you know, but to expand the minds of our listeners, it's really been good. I mean, unfortunately, these things happen, but to make people understand what they're going through, what their concerns on their ACP side, and also as homeowners, because I always talk about, Andy, you know as well as I do, I always talk about, how do we translate the ACP world into the personal lines? Because homeowners who are listening to the program say, oh, they're going to talk about business. And which is true, but you really can extrapolate some of that information and some of that intel that's business driven, and really bring it into your own home and you know, in your 50 by 100.
Absolutely, we talk about that all the time, because even with a business, the most important asset a business has is its employees, because it doesn't work without the people. So we want to make sure that the people are protected, that they know what to do, that their families are protected, because nobody's coming to work if they have to worry about the safety of their family.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. That was one of the challenges with a buddy I went through the academy with. He was a former state police guy in Mississippi, and he was down in New Orleans. Meanwhile, you know, in Mississippi, still got crushed. They got hit heavy. He's in his patrol car, you know, doing God knows the Lord's work with that situation, and still having to carry the worries of his own home and his wife and his two kids.
Very, very important. Again, the beauty of ACP is to bring in people with all different types of experiences and backgrounds. My particular background originally was in the insurance industry before it was in the communications industry. And I sometimes talk about things that surprise even veteran people, because they don't always understand insurance. We had R.W.H. Meyer on the show about negotiating business interruption claims. Now, to be honest with you, I hadn't known about it until I ran into them, because I get involved with other, as ACP, I get involved with other organizations like RIMS, which is Risk Insurance Managers Society, and I meet them.
Right, RIMS, yeah, sure.
It's all about networking, it's all about understanding it, and the beauty of being involved with the ACP, having the things like we do with the May 11th, is to give people exposure to many, many things. Lynn Maloney will be there, Advanced Egress Systems.
Past guest.
With her mats. And I understand Lynn's been doing a couple of small shows like this, and the response to her mats has been tremendous, because nobody's seen this at a price point that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Evacuation mats, nobody looks at it. As I've mentioned to you before, I've been working with HIPAA, and we talk about HIPAA, and I happen to have some background in the ADA laws. So when we talk about what's going on in the continuity plan, you've got to do an evacuation plan. Well, I'm in a doctor's office. People are in a doctor's office. Not everybody can run out the office, whether they're in various states of undress, whether they are not able to, they're not fully mobile, whether they're in an upstairs office and they have to get and the elevator is not working, how do you deal with that? These are all things that we always talk about in all of this. So everybody's experience, you become a collective experience.
Well,
and that's important.
Resource. You know, when I mentioned before about different parts of the country, last week, like I said, unfortunately, I had to go do my job besides this, the radio program, which is a love of mine. I just want to apologize to Donna and Katie and Molly. They were going to be on. They're from the West Coast. They're part of the ACP family, and their challenges and their efforts of getting the business world on board in their region of having a backup plan and being prepared. So, ladies, I apologize. Hopefully we can do that in another couple of weeks. We can get that spin, get the left coast, the West Coast with the East Coast, transition of intelligence. Andy, why don't you stick around with me for just a couple seconds after. We're going to go to a break. And I got a couple questions from Dave and Terry that's on the comments page, and we'll just keep on rocking and rolling. Stay with me. All right, be back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices. They're going to need advocates.
Paralyzed Veterans of America is here to help.
We're going to make sure that the Veterans Affairs gives them everything that they're entitled to.
Get all the health care they need.
Making a person's house adaptable for them to go back home and live.
Education benefits.
And we also focus on getting them a job.
And if something happens to the veteran, then, you know, we're the spouse's advocate.
We help our veterans for free.
The way that Paralyzed Veterans of America does that is through their national service officers that are located throughout the United States.
Our work is important because people depend on us.
And they know when they come to Paralyzed Veterans of America, they're going to get the right answer. And they know that we are there for them 24/7. Because we are.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
The American Legion. We're a powerful force for the nation. We're the largest organization of wartime veterans in the nation. We've served America in uniform, and we continue to serve through our membership in the American Legion. We're patriots through and through. We believe in our flag and what it stands for. Our Constitution, our Pledge of Allegiance, our way of life are all fundamental to maintaining our freedom and the standing we have as the greatest country on earth. We promote and defend these values every day in communities across the nation. We're at the forefront to protect our flag from acts of desecration. We have many programs that teach our youth about the rights and responsibilities of citizenship and what a gift it is to be an American. And you can find us marching down main streets in small towns and big cities all across America, showing our support and pride for our veterans and their families. Go to Legion.org to find out more about the American Legion's commitment of service to America.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Disaster Recovery Hour, MC. It's Tuesdays, Monday. Oh my God, I'm all over the place. I've been very busy at work, so I'm a little punchy. Between 1 and 2 p.m. every Tuesday. Anyway. With enough of that, by the way, drhradio.net, that is drhradio.net. Go to the comments page, type in a comment for us regarding anything in the prepare in this world, and see if we can be of assistance here at the show. I have numerous guests in the past, and like I said, I got some things that I need to talk about on the comments page. But Andy, let's go. Andy's still with me. Andy Weitzberg, who's the president of the ACP in the island, Long Island, that is. We're so close, we can just say the island. But there's so the May 11th. The ACP partnership, business preparedness, public-private partnership. Anybody can come in and check it out. And also, you know, and I always resort back to what the lieutenant talked about is like, you know, what Chris, you know, when we go to the schools or we go and have the open houses, these other fire the volunteers and the paid guys, they have the open houses. If we can save somebody, just one somebody, you know, and if somebody comes to the show, that one somebody out of 100 or 200 people that crossed our paths or whatever, or somebody else in the show with some numerous booths. That's the whole thing, right? I mean, that's how I look at it. I mean, you really break it down that simple, don't you think?
Absolutely. The only thing I ask is that you please pre-register, and you can do that by going to acp-li.org, and that's acp-li.org, and there's a flyer on there. Just click on the flyer, it'll send you to a registration point, which is on Eventbrite. Again, it's free. We just like to keep a head count. There was over 75 people registered, and we're 2.5 weeks away, and we have a capacity of about 150 to 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we're going to have a full house, because we usually get a lot more people in the end.
Right. I mean, last year, my first time, you said there was a fair amount of people showing up, and then it got busy quickly, and the rooms, both sides, you know, there was the presentation room, and then there was the booth side.
Right.
It was jamming, without a doubt, and we had a fair amount of first responders were there, besides regular Joe Citizen, who were past first responders. You know, we also have another one here at William Patterson that have Ed Goldberg, who was going to be on the program during the hurricanes. He works for a company I can't mention right now, but he is an ACP member and for business continuity. But he works on the electrical and power side, if you will. I'll leave it at that. He's going to be joining us at William Patterson. Ours is May 16th. It's Wednesday, May 16th. There's going to be some intel up on the website page at drhradio.net that you can peruse that and the people that will be attending. But Ed's going to be there, and also I believe Stan's going to be there. Stan, who's the president of the ACP chapter over here in Jersey.
Stan Kolstad.
Yeah, Stan Kolstad. You know, and I'm always on first name basis. I always forget about the last names. I'm, you know, going to be the more professional radio guy. But so that's going to be interesting. There's going to be numerous people at this program. It's you know, another supervisor for OEM out of the North Region, Lieutenant Kevin Fowler. His Sun Guard's going to be there. So we have both sides, the public and the private. And listen, it's 8:30 to 11. I'll talk about it a little more at the end of the program. But these things are out there. But you know what, Andy? It takes time. You know, you got to set these things on your schedule, because you know, like I said, a lot of people have their day jobs, which are no longer 9 to 5. They're 11, 12 hour days, and you come home and you still got to eat, and you got to do the ABCs before you go to bed, and to go out, and you know, it's a challenge. You know, it's just a challenge.
Oh, absolutely. And it's also the challenge of putting these on. Because everybody in our group also, we don't use outside professionals. We do most of it ourselves to keep our costs down, so it's free for everybody. And, you know, I got to compliment my board members, because they're in there. They're pushing for the vendors, and anybody that'd like to be a vendor, we can get a couple of last-minute tables in. But, you know, we're charging $350 for a non-member table, which is a bargain. We're just trying to do that so we cover our expenses. That's all we're trying to do. This is not a big money maker for us. It covers the expenses of having it, of taking care of the people, of paying for the facility. Nobody in our group gets paid for what they do.
Right.
For ACP, it's strictly all volunteer work. But
that's
important.
Yeah,
it really does teach you. to think ahead, to be prepared.
Right.
I think the
volunteerism in our country is fantastic, and the guys down at the firehouse, and even auxiliary police guys who are directing traffic outside the houses of worship, on a Saturday or a Sunday, or at nighttime, there's not enough credit along those lines, without a doubt. And with these types of organizations, the ACPs of the world, and BCI, and Business Continuity Insights, and Disaster Recovery Journal, and, some are paid and some are not paid. And these people have the passion. Like, for example, I had Bonnie on a couple of weeks down in New Orleans.
Bonnie Canal.
Bonnie, again, you're so more efficient, Andy. I just love you. I tell you.
I have a cheat sheet.
really? I'm going to get me one of those. Bonnie is spending, besides her consulting business, which does very well, and she travels the country, giving her thoughts and her passion for her business, but also she's spending all that extra time on volunteering of how to get her community, how the community can be involved, and the challenges of the underserved, as she said, when I said under financially stressed out, if you will. We got a ton of questions on the comments page. Annie, let me rip some of these off. Maybe you can chime in and help me out with them. And, by the way, I will comment. Steve did respond to a couple of questions last week. They're on the page about social media, which is really kind of cool. We were talking with Steve Elliott from down in Miami area. He was on, what was it, 2 weeks ago, I think it was? I think it was 2 weeks ago. That we ran his show that we taped. We taped the obviously it was a live interview, but it was taped. The social media and how employees are getting the word out. But one of also the things is that the adverse side to getting an employee saying, okay, we're having whatever incident may be, which is great if it's a shooter incident, we want to get the intel out there as quick as possible. But some of the stuff that are kind of minor could be detrimental to the company and reputation wise. It's really the social media has really clouded that whole situation and how to use it responsibly. But there's also, like everything, there's goods and bads. But let's move into some of our questions. We have one from Dave. It said, hey, Chris, if somebody's looking to buy a house in a new area, what's the best way to find out that the property is in a possible flood zone? First, call your own carrier. They should have that information. They get that updated. Also the county maps you can with inside your county, because flood, if you're in a flood zone, that means you need to carry flood insurance, which is underwritten by the National Flood Program. So listen, that's generating dollars, so that's going to be coming money out of your pocket, so you're going to want to be aware of that. They're definitely aware of it, what zones are flooded and what aren't. Just like being on the coast and down in Florida, there's hurricane insurance and things like that. So Dave, I would you can call if you're it's in a municipality, it's a small town or a city. They're going to have that information in the municipal buildings, and your carrier most likely will have an updated version of what's the flood zones in those particular areas. Another one, Annie, anything to say about that? Any other avenues you think you can grab that intel from?
Yes. Also, speak to anybody in the area that's been around for a while. Unfortunately, in a lot of areas, what has happened is through various droughts or rerouting, there have been areas where that were flood zones or that did flood,
right,
but
right.
Haven't in quite some time, 10 or 15 or 20 years, all of a sudden, as the water tables go back up, they do come back around. So,
good point, very good point.
They're not always on the national flood maps that way.
Mm, yeah. Question from Terry. I think every little thing that you can do can be helpful. Smoke alarms and fire extinguishers in the kitchen would be comforting living in a condo. I use baking soda for a small fire. It says, can you expand on a small kitchen fire? Well, you know what? Curtains, for example. People, actually people getting burnt. And, I'm talking from experience of responding, not responding, but coming to a to a fire that has already happened. The first responders, who are the heroes in the trade, have already taken care of it. But you know, people with baggy clothes on, they're leaning over and they're cooking and they catch fire with their clothing. You know, having a toaster oven too close to the curtains. Let me tell you something. It's happened very close in my house. Small counter space in this one particular part, which is a very busy part of our countertop. Those things can happen very quickly. And you know, grease fires. You know what? You're not going to be splashing water on something on the stove. It's just going to spread. It's going to get nasty quickly. Everybody should have a fire extinguisher in the kitchen, and you should check it once a year also. It's easy. You can call your local fire department. I think it's still a free service. I'm not too sure. I know there commercially you have to get it signed off by a private certified through the fire association extinguisher and dated and such like that. But I think that a homeowner can have it checked out from the local fire department, the local fire official. So, Terry, with that, I hope I was hopefully helpful with that. You still with me, Andy?
Yeah, just one small point.
Sure.
Even though baking soda is good, I like the fact of using the fire extinguisher better because it gives you a little distance between you and the fire.
Right.
Baking soda doesn't.
And listen, the people are not, if you're not a fireman, you're not a volunteer or a professional, don't put it out yourself. They want you to call 911 as soon as possible. I know you want to salvage, and sometimes you can salvage. Sometimes they get put out themselves. You know, I had one recently where it was in a laundry room and there was no oxygen and went out. So that was a good thing. Frank, it says, is this coming hurricane season expected to be heavy? Yes, it is. Are hurricane shutters beneficial? I've seen them, and I know some insurance carriers give you a premium discount. I would like to have, you know, depends on the carrier and what they're thinking, who's writing where, what the policies read. I think they're beneficial for certain categories. I think after a while, you know, it's going to just blow through the window. You know, a large objects coming through could just damage and go right through it. I've seen it on both sides in Florida when I worked down there. They were beneficial, and then they were just completely crushed. So his second part of that, and you're still with me, Andy, is what is the most important thing we can do in our home? You know what? I think that's kind of an individual thing. I think there's, again, it might be that 80-20 thing. There's sure some stock things. I think photographs and paperwork and things like that, whether it's showing up, you know, you're sending it off to the cloud somewhere, or it's duplicated and staged somewhere else, I think those are huge. Those things are memories. I think couches and rugs and dishes, they can be replaced.
Correct.
The memory thing and also important papers, they can't be replicated as easy and if at all. So for me, I would look in that direction. And also, you know, your medications. You know, I see one of my questions today is from Barry. Says, what is the best way to protect the meds that most people take in the event of a disaster? I don't know if there's the best way is, you know, for me is, again, is to have that script. It's already on file with, say, you know, I'll give us a little CVS plug or whoever you do your, or Frank's Pharmacy, whatever. I mean, I take several different types of medications. I have I talk about cheat sheets. I have it in my wallet. I also now have it in my phone. There's a very cool application that you can put things in there for future, you know, not so much your banking accounts, but some other information that you can put in store. The second follow up on Barry's question is getting refills after disaster can be costly. It could be costly on two fronts. One is there a pharmacy in your area in the hot zone that's still operational? Secondly, so you have to travel, and do they have the information there that's now it's completely blown out? You know, like Joplin, for example, are those on record somewhere else? Are they in the cloud? What do you think about that, Andy? On that, do you think are the pharmacies? You're a technical guy. You're a cloud guy. You know, you're not in the clouds, but you're a cloud guy.
Yes, it's important to have copies of this, but also check with your local health department. Many health departments have programs to be able to furnish medications for at least a week or so, after a major disaster.
Right. You know what? Sorry, go ahead.
That's one of the things that Dr. Dennis Russo is going to be talking about. I know it's a program I've tried to help him with in Suffolk County, because we've talked about it before.
Right.
But he was surprised to find out that most pharmacies don't have the backup facilities for refrigeration and generators and things like that.
Right. You know, being down in Orlando at the Disaster Recovery Journal Spring Conference, we had Sun Guard as one of my interviews, and they have a mobile. I pretty much call it a mobile command center. Theirs is it was deployed in several parts of the country, but one of them it acted as a pharmacy. So having that as part of your backup plan, I think Sun Guard's going to be with us at William Patterson out May 16th. Between 8:30 and 11:30, so they're going to be one of the speakers on our panel. Yours truly, that would be. I shouldn't even say that. Yours truly, me, Chris Plunkett, the host of Disaster Recovery Hour. I'll be out there. I'm going to kind of monitor it. We have experts in different areas. I'm going to be talking about property. I'm hopefully having another good friend of mine from Service Master join me on that panel. But these mobile command centers, and there was one out with I thought it was SunGuard. There was somebody out at the last year's ACP that
Agility, one of their competitors. Was at ours last year.
We better go to a commercial break, Andy. We better do this.
Okay, please, we got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. If you missed part of today's program or you'd like to hear it again, be sure to subscribe to the Kate Valentine UFO Show podcast. Go to Kate's website, AtlanticCoastUFOs.com, and sign up by entering your email address on the homepage. Every week, the show will be delivered right to you, so you'll never miss another intriguing, thought-provoking interview with the top names in the UFO field. Sign up today for the Kate Valentine UFO Show podcast at AtlanticCoastUFOs.com. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. Service Master Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, Service Master Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
At Habitat for Humanity, with your help, the numbers are adding up. 3 decades, thousands of volunteers, nearly 90 countries around the world. 300,000 houses, 1.5 million people living in simple, decent, affordable homes. But the most important number is one. One volunteer, one house, one family, one child, safe and sound, under a roof you helped her family build. Every 15 minutes, somewhere in the world, this story is repeated. One more home built, one more family helping to build and purchase their own home. Together we can eliminate substandard housing. Won't you join us? Support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your hometown or wherever your heart leads you. Now more than ever, volunteer, get involved, and help build it. Visit us at habitat.org.
This is it. Last couple minutes with the show. Andy stayed on longer than I think he anticipated, or me, for that matter. I didn't want to take too much of Andy's time, even though we were talking about Andy and I have great volleying sessions with information. It's always a pleasure. But Andy, give me a second. We had one last a question from Tim. We also, some of the people at the William Patterson, the program is going to be called Business Continuity: How to Save Your Company After Disaster Strikes. That is on May 16th on a Wednesday between 8:30 and 11:30. Deb Hoffman is putting it on. She's from the Passaic County Department of Economic Development. It's there's a North Jersey Region of Chamber of Commerce, Greater Patterson Chamber of Commerce, Tri-County Chamber of Commerce. So similar to what's happening out with us with the ACP in Long Island with this. Some other things, I'm gonna have to shelve some stuff till next week. I got too much stuff I want to get a hold of, and we don't have enough time. Andy, yes, go.
Can I make one quick point on Barry's question about the meds?
Yes.
Everybody should have a to-go bag for each person in the family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You should always store at least 7 days' worth of medications in your to-go bag. As far as I'm concerned, they recommend three to five. I'm telling you, have a week's worth in your bag, and that should cover you.
Yeah. Well, I traveled a lot last year, and some of my meds are monitored, if you will. A good monitor. They're not a narcotic, if you will. They're heart medications. But you are supposed to get them they're supposed to be done on the refill basis. But I was going and traveling and having a temporary place where I was staying down south. So I had done it the years before with the hurricanes because I had two different really residents. I had In my briefcase, I had them at my regular home here in Jersey and the one in Florida. And then this past year, I had it one in Tennessee and the other one was in Georgia. Some backups. And so now it's naturally in my head of having the constant backups. So I'm never really close to running out because I can always tap into the other ones and then I just get the natural refill. But yeah, valid point of having more than just your standard 3 or 4 or 5 day one.
Absolutely.
With that, we just got a couple minutes to go in the show. Annie, thanks for taking some time that we got the word
Thank
out
you.
Regarding the program. Again, why don't you just give the information again and also who can attend if they want to?
It's open to the public. We look for the business community, the public at large. It's geared towards the business community, no question about it. It's acp-li.org. That's acp-li.org. And right on the front page, you'll see a flyer. Click on it. It'll lead you through to get to the registration page. There is no charge for this. And we look forward to meeting you there.
Yeah, and it's on our webpage. It's just a click away if you want that. It's at the Hyatt Regency in Windwatch. Motor Parkway.
Hop Hog, New York.
Okay.
Hop Hog, New York.
I'll tell you, you people on the island with your different names and your wares, this, your zip codes. It's crazy out there. I don't know how you survive. Anyway, so that's a jab between friends, by the way. Don't get all crazy on the comments page that I don't like Long Island. I know what you got. I know my buddies from Long Island call Jersey a land of smokestacks. You know, you come out of the Holland Tunnel or the Lincoln, you see.
And chemical plants.
Yeah, chemical plants. I don't like those guys. Never liked them. Andy, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
And,
thank you.
We'll talk in a couple of days. And by the way, again, to the women from the West Coast about last week's program, again, I apologize. I want to keep our relationship moving in the positive momentum direction. Things have been growing very quickly, especially with Mike Gifford really embracing the program and the ACP chapter, different presidents of participating in, whether it's emails or on the program. It's been great, and we'll continue moving forward. Thanks. Andy, see you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That Andy Weitzberg, everybody knows who Andy is. Andy's all over our webpage, drhradio.net, drhradio.net. The comments page, Tim, I got a question from Tim. It says, I believe it's been some years since we've had the use of fire warnings. Are we out of danger? What should the average citizen be aware of? That's a good question. The fire warnings, I don't know where Tim, if you can comment, what part of the country you're calling, but I know everybody still has the fire alarm, the sirens. There are different pitches, different noises for different towns. Here in Bergen County, you know, we got 70 towns in one county. So you actually can hear the other fire systems. You're in one town, you can hear probably two or three other towns away, and you can actually differentiate which town is it coming from. You know, is that New Milford, or is that Hackensack, or not Hackensack, or Bergenfield? So it's kind of, you know, social media is really moving forward. You know, I'm trying to get this president of an app company with social media and getting warnings out, whatever it may be. There's different types of warnings, but he's been a very busy man. The company's been growing very, very quickly, and his time is valuable. Not to say that the show that he doesn't want to do the show as much as, you know, he's running a company. He's got a lot of employees, so the apps are moving in that direction. Social media is moving in that direction. Eventually, just like VCRs went to, or VHS, then VCR, DVD, you know, it all progresses in that manner, where it's kind of funny when you see somebody in their 80s, you know, having an iPhone, you know, but that's the way it is. That's progression of the phone system. And, you know, you have apps, and the reverse 911 is, you know, it's an effective tool for alarming people, you know, especially, you know, nowadays with these whack jobs, with driving around in school zones and things like that. So they're very effective. But the apps, we did an app with Jesser C. Passad, who's an ACP member, but also in private industry affiliated with NASA, and they had an app regarding preparedness. We should revisit that program. And there's the heavy bass. It sounds like a little rain in the background. It sounds like the Doors almost, doesn't it? I had a couple seconds. I met Ray Kelly last week at an awards dinner. The commissioner, hopefully the future mayor of New York City, dynamite guy. I met him downtown after the towers. Riders on the Storm, that's the name of it. Always the biggest disaster that is still happening is the wars. Both sides bring home our troops, men or women, are still dying. No need for it anymore. Bring them home. God bless our country, and be safe out there. We'll talk to you next week. See you.